Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AMFM.com.
And a quick reminder, we will carry Lane Kiffin's press conference this afternoon live, brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910, scheduled for 3:30. You never know when these things are going to start, but as soon as it starts, we'll go to the podium. I guarantee you that. It's going to be some exciting times for LSU football.
It sure will. A new era begins, and it'll be interesting to see what Kiffin says, especially about who from his Ole Miss staff he'll be bringing over.
Yep. We'll see. We'll have it all for you here, scheduled for 3:30, again brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. The holidays are here. That means it's time to re-examine our etiquette and check our list of do's and don'ts. And who better to help us do that than Thomas Farley, Mr. Manners, an etiquette expert and columnist. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Tommy, good morning. It's been a while, so nice to
it
speak
has
with
been.
You.
Nice to speak with you as well. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was not a single Thanksgiving. It was dual Thanksgivings. I had a Thanksgiving feast on Thursday and then again on Saturday. So I got my fill.
You are spelling that D-U-A-L and not D-U-E-L, right?
I always try and follow my own advice. So no, there was no dueling. There were no swords coming out.
Well, because
footballs being thrown.
Sometimes, actually, you know, when you have, and we may as well start here with spending time with family, sometimes it can be dueling Thanksgivings instead of dualing Thanksgivings, and I'm emphasizing the A and the E's there, but you get my point. What's the best way to go about negotiating time with each family member or within the same family with each member of each different family?
Yes, it's a tough one. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we are not seeing many of these individuals, especially if they're extended family, but for once or twice a year. So a lot of times inappropriate questions will be coming out. When are you getting married? Mm-hmm. Don't you want kids? Are you still in that dead end job? So there's that. And sometimes it's just genuine curiosity and we need to treat it as such. And sometimes it's somebody really trying to needle us and get a rise out of us. So the best strategy there is to not give it to them. So you don't take the bait. You deflect the question. You say, I'm not really looking forward to chatting about that today. Today is all about the turkey for me. I hope it's the same for you. And then you change the subject. But I think because the holidays bring so much stress, we want to be the perfect version of ourselves. The best one to be as a guest is to bring out the best in yourself and the best in others. And the best way to do that is by not engaging those duels, as you say.
Let me open the text line here at 504-260-1870 if you have any questions about holidays, do's and don'ts for Thomas Farley, Mr. Manners. Somebody texted in that they had a problem this Thanksgiving. They handled it, they think, very well. But a family member had a fall from grace and was basically did something wrong and lost a very prestigious job and was in a kind of much lower position, a menial job, and they didn't quite know what to talk about with that person. What would your suggestion be there?
I think sometimes if you're coming at a conversation like that from a place of genuine care and concern, I think that can be terrific. But this really is going to be a case-by-case basis. I, as a general rule, a scenario like that, I would not be bringing it up in front of the entire group. So don't bring it up, you know, so heard about your fall from grace.
Yeah, you got a guy, for example, you got a guy as a surgeon, a heart surgeon, and then for whatever reason, there are numerous blunders and winds up cleaning up the hospital. Not that there's anything wrong with cleaning up the hospital. It's good, honest work. But after having gone from being the leading cardiac surgeon there, you could see where it could be awkward as far as what do you talk about, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes the awkwardness is worse when the subject is out there, it's the elephant in the room, and it's not being acknowledged at all. So again, I think if you have a close relationship with this individual, you're not just relatives, but you're actually friends, I would perhaps say something along the lines of, gosh, I heard about what happened, you know, at the hospital, and I just want you to know I'm here for you if you ever want to talk about it. So you're not going to ask probing, insulting questions, you're not going to denigrate someone, but if you're just the fringe acquaintance or friend relative, then there would be no reason for you to be bringing it up at all.
So you just kind of talk about general stuff and leave that out of it, right?
That's right. And you know what? If they bring it up, well, then it's fair game. And again, I would just treat the conversation gingerly. But, you know, sometimes walking on eggshells can make the other person feel even more awkward because they realize everybody's thinking about it. They're just too afraid to talk about it. So you may be doing them a favor as long as you do it in a compassionate way and do it one-on-one.
Somebody texted in about coordination among family members as far as who wants to have what party, because not everybody can have everybody over for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, right? There is only so much time and so much distance. So what do? Get together and maybe decide to strategize it out?
Yeah, what a wonderful thing to have so many people who want to throw a gathering. And I think that, you know, this happens a lot where you've got in-laws and, you know, both sides of the family want to see the grandchildren or want to see the son or the daughter. This is something that really you want to strategize, not at the last moment, but if you can, do it at the beginning of the year. Say, okay, you know what? We've got a bunch of holidays coming up that are important to both families, or we're going to have multiple invites. Where are we going to go and how we're going to approach this? And maybe it is like what happened with me this Thanksgiving. You have that twin Thanksgiving celebration where there's one that's on the day and then one a couple of days later. That can be nice, too. It extends the holiday.
Talk about gift giving. Is it better to have a conversation with somebody beforehand? I'm looking at Chris Coleman, a very talented young man that's manning Master Control for us. You know, Chris, I don't plan on giving you anything for Christmas this year, just so you don't go out and buy me anything. I prefer to have that conversation. Just, you know, tell me how you do that, because what I hate, Thomas, is when, for whatever reason, Chris decides to give me something, presuming we hadn't had that conversation, and then I don't have anything. Then next year I get something for him, and he says, well, he didn't give me anything, so I don't have anything for him. And this disconnect continues. Talk about that.
Yes, and this even can happen even on a more simple basis with holiday cards. You know, well, they didn't send me a card this year, I'm not sending them one next year, and then because they got yours, then they send you one, and it goes back and forth in perpetuity. If in a scenario like that, if someone does give you a gift and you're not prepared for it, don't use language like, why did you go and do that? Or, oh, I didn't think we were exchanging. Now I feel bad. None of that language, because someone who's a gift giver, you want to thank them genuinely and uplift them. They're excited to give you the present. You want to acknowledge it in a thoughtful way. Thank you so much. Oh, this is terrific. I love it. Far better than, oh, you shouldn't have. But yes, I think if you think there's some risk, especially in a workplace, Tommy, the only ones really who should be giving gifts are the big boss to the subordinates, like the VP of sales to his crack sales team. They would typically get a gift, but you don't typically give up. So you're as the person who's the director.
Wait, that's interesting to say that you don't necessarily give up. You wouldn't, because it would appear as though you're trying to curry favor or buy influence in a way.
That's exactly right. And you're making the rest of your colleagues look bad because they didn't give a gift and you did. And candidly, if you're in a higher role, typically you're making a little bit more money. So you're in a better position to be able to give gifts. But you really, as the boss, you're thinking, these are the people who have helped me shine all year long, and therefore I'm going to give them a gift. But it's not typical that the boss is helping you as an individual shine in that same way. And so we follow that logic.
And as you mentioned that, I'm thinking of the movie Four Christmases, which I caught a little bit of yesterday, and he didn't realize there was a $10 limit, so he buys the PlayStation and blows it for everybody. Best to have a conversation with family members before that or not? Because not everybody makes the same amount of money, and maybe the heart surgeon that doesn't fall from grace, maybe he can gift somebody a lot better than the guy that's working at the parking lot can.
Yeah, this is very important. And I think it's one of the reasons, Tommy, why I'm a big fan of gift exchanges, of grab bags, of white elephants, of Secret Santas. They really help level the playing field. And unless for whatever reason you're fortunate enough to be in a family where you're giving lavish gifts to one another and you all spend it the exact same amount, the fact is most of us really just want to give something that is truly appreciated and we can display our thoughtfulness. And the same for the gifts that we receive. So, I know that it's better to give than received, or it's the thought that counts. Those sayings sound so corny, but they're really true. I'd far rather have something that shows true insight and thoughtfulness toward me than something that's lavishly expensive that I have no use for. So I think those candid conversations, again, not on Christmas Eve, well, now it's too late, but the Christmas gifting conversation should be happening right now.
As it relates to personal gifts, sometimes things can be too personal and not appropriate. Is it best to, I would presume it's best to err on the side of caution there and not get too personal?
Especially in the workplace. So, I would steer clear of, again, boss giving to subordinates. You're not going to give jewelry. You're not going to give items of clothing, accessories like gloves or a scarf, different, but you're not going to give someone, a sweater or a dress. This obviously would be very, very a dangerous path to be going down. You don't want any negative perception attached to the gift. So, what I like to do, Tommy, I keep a spreadsheet of the people I know I'm going to be giving a gift to and just jot down things that they happen to mention during the year. Their favorite sports team, a favorite author, a favorite TV show, anything that I can show, this is not just something that I randomly picked out on Amazon 24 hours before.
You are reading ahead, Mr. Farley. Go ahead. Continue your thought.
Yes. But this is something that shows I genuinely listen to you and I care about you. And I want to get you something that shows me to be a true, true ally and friend.
And let me take a break because the next question was going to be, it's not the gift, it's the thought that counts. However, if you give me a pair of spats or I'm trying to think of something else that's crazy, a tie, and I never wear a tie, well, then that just shows me that, or something you picked up at Walgreens on Christmas morning, it shows me, well, maybe you weren't thinking about me that much. 9:20, we're talking about Christmas and holiday etiquette with Thomas Farley, Mr. Manners, an etiquette expert and columnist. We'll talk about holiday work parties as well when we come back. Glad you're with us on this chilly Tuesday morning, first day of December, counting down to Christmas on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:26, quickly back to Thomas Farley, Mr. Manners, and an etiquette expert and columnist. Do you have books out, Thomas?
You know, I did a book quite a while ago called Modern Manners, The Thinking Person's Guide to Social Graces, and I'm working on a children's book at the moment.
All right. Now, let's talk about, since we're talking about children and inclusiveness when it comes to class and so forth, always best to check with the teacher first, I guess, or fellow parents?
Yeah, so, you know, the typically gift-giving in a school environment, that really ends around middle school, but certainly not older. So we're not high school, we're not giving gifts to teachers. But in the earlier grades, so primary school, pre-K, very often the parents will organize a group gift for the teacher. But what I hear from teachers consistently every year is, please, please, no more world's favorite teacher mugs. They've got full sets of those and need no more. Mm-hmm. But again, a gift card is a really nice thing to do. And certainly if it's a younger child, a personalized card, a hand-painted one or a hand-drawn one is a really nice touch.
I know some teachers and I've been surprised at what they receive for gifts. And it just screams regifting, and we'll get to that next time you come on, because I don't think we have time for that. Let's talk about, say, for example, you're not a person like yourself, and you're clueless when it comes time to buy a gift for somebody. It is the thought that counts, but you've not kept a spreadsheet nor taken notes of what it is that you should get this person. You got any generic thoughts?
I'd say all hope is not lost. If you still want to do that personal gift, you can always check their social media. They're on Facebook or Instagram or any of the other platforms, TikTok. See what they're talking about. See what they're wearing. See the sports teams or the TV shows they like to talk about. That can be a nice cue. But I would say, in general, baked goods are always appreciated, keeping in mind any potential dietary restrictions the person may have. Same for a bottle of wine or a favorite bottle of scotch. Especially if you know the person is a drinker and as opposed to someone who does not drink any alcohol whatsoever. So I think those are nice, safe bets. And then, a warm scarf, a pair of gloves, those are all the kinds of things that even in New Orleans we can certainly use come wintertime.
Have the rules changed drastically with, you know, I hate to say political correctness because that's become cliche almost, but in the last 10, 20 years or so with people being so sensitive about everything?
I really think it's a person-to-person sort of a situation. If you think that in any way something that you might be giving will be taken offensively, if you've got a mission for this person, I would not use that gift as a way of furthering that mission. Let's put it that way. If you think the person really needs to take off some weight, I would not be giving them a GLP-1, Ozempic gift subscription, for example. Mm-hmm. That, I would say, would certainly be off the table, or something that's deliberately too small for them as a means of kind of fat shaming them. So I think there are still some things that would very much be off limits. If the intention of the gift is genuine and kind, there really should be no problem. But don't use the gift as a means of furthering your own agenda with this person.
But we should also look at it as the recipient of the gift, because rarely, I think, does anybody get you a gift. Rarely would they go out of their way to get a gift to offend you, right? I mean, they would really have to have it in for you to want to do that.
That is for sure. And that's where I would say the political incorrectness would come into play. But what I do see, Tommy, is people who buy a gift that's really more for themselves than it is for the person they're giving it to. So you live in a household where maybe, you know, you love model trains, and so you get your children model trains, even though I have zero interest and never will. The gift is really for you. Or something that's related to housework. For example, you're getting your spouse an iron as a gift because you want your shirts to be perfectly pressed. This is not something that is going to show thoughtfulness and love in the same way that a gift that's truly for that person to enjoy would proffer.
Like a gift certificate to the dry cleaner, perhaps.
That's what they should get in return. If somebody gives me an iron, they're getting a gift certificate to the dry cleaner.
Thomas, never enough time. I know you're busy. We'll have you back before the Christmas, hopefully, okay?
I look forward to it, Tommy.
Thank you,
thanks so much always for the
you
conversation.
Bet.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Thomas Farley, Mr. Manners, an etiquette expert and columnist. Hope we helped you on this Cyber Monday. Maybe avoid some of the pitfalls. And that social media idea is a great one. You go and see what they're into, what they like, what they're wearing, this, that, the other thing. And it'll at least seem as though you know something about them. 9:32, we come back. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWE.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be well. 9:38, 22 till 10 on this Monday morning, December 1st. Hurricane season done, over with. With the cool weather and the holidays, we kind of let that slide, but that's good. Thank goodness for that. Andrew Schwartz joins us now, professor of IT in the E.J. Uso College. Yes, that's how it's pronounced. Stop texting and calling and everything else. The E.J. Uso College of Business at LSU has been researching technology-related issues for over 20 years, recently been focusing his attention on AI. We like to check in with him every now and then and see what's going on with AI, what's the latest, how it's affecting us, etc. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Fantastic. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, Tom.
I did. And did you?
Absolutely.
Did you have any kind of artificial intelligence turkey or anything that talked back to you or anything?
Yeah, like I actually did quite the opposite. My wife and I enjoyed a quiet cabin in Broken Bow, Oklahoma.
Awesome. Good for you. Let's talk about AI for people that don't know. You and I have spoken before, but for people that are maybe AI came up at the Thanksgiving table and they were just sitting there listening quietly and they didn't really understand what it is. What is AI / artificial intelligence?
Absolutely. So the way to think about AI is quite simply, it's a technology approach where the technology learns based upon the data that it's been trained upon and then makes extrapolation or makes decisions based upon how it was trained to assist you in your day-to-day life.
So how is it different now? Because it's been around for a long time, right?
Absolutely. So we're seeing a real maturity in the market over the past few months. It's been really exciting to see. So the way that AI is manifested and the way we're using it is in platforms like ChatGPT or Gemini or even on your phone. So if you've downloaded, for example, the new version of iOS, if you played around with the photo app, for example, if you're searching for something and you don't know what it is, if you take a picture of it and then click on that object, AI will actually help you to identify what that object is. So we're starting to see a real interesting consumer-facing AI approach with that.
Are we all, whether we realize it or not, all using AI every day?
Oh, absolutely. It's been integrated much more into what we're doing. By the end of this year, we expect nearly every single retail establishment that we do business with to be using AI in some capacity on the back end to understand our consumption behaviors.
Like in which way, Professor?
Looking at what we buy and what we don't buy, and we're even looking. There are even some early indications as holidays approach that they're even starting to use AI to look at travel, to look at dynamic pricing with travel in a much different kind of way as well.
Let's say AI, we didn't interact with AI on a daily basis. What would it look like?
Sure. So what we're evolving to, which is kind of interesting, is the newest term that you may be hearing a lot is the concept of what's called agentic AI. So the question is, what is agentic AI? So let's say that we all use ChatGPT on a daily basis, which we are looking to that. Well, what if there's one thing that you do on a pretty consistent basis with your AI system? Well, you could actually create an agent that's basically a software approach that does all that for you. So we're increasingly going to move to a place where AI is going to operate in the background and going to do some tasks that we may or may not want to do on our behalf.
So somebody texted in and said they have an iPhone. As far as they know, they didn't do anything with AI. Did they do anything with AI if they didn't download a program or something? Or does it?
Yes. In the operating system, the iOS operating system you're using, Apple Intelligence is already baked into that. So it's behind the scenes operating and working. And you don't have to necessarily use it, but it is certainly operating on your behalf on the back end as well.
So how?
Absolutely. So what it's doing is quietly learning a lot of your patterns and learning what you're doing. And the unique thing, and those of us who are concerned about privacy, the unique thing about Apple and the benefit of Apple is all that AI actually stays on your device, meaning your behavior is actually going to be only known by you and only you. So the kind of cool thing is that it's working in the background for you. And it's working in the background to maybe understand your patterns and looking at what you're taking pictures of or who you're communicating with. If you are typing a text message to somebody and you get suggestions, we call that predictive text. That's based upon how you've communicated in the past, and it's giving you suggestions as to how to make that text easier.
Somebody, I know somebody that's a very intelligent person, is very concerned about AI, concerned with guardrails or lack thereof of AI starting wars in some cases or just taking over. And he's smarter than I am, and I didn't quite understand everything that he was trying to tell me. But you understand all of this. Tell me your fears as it relates to AI.
Yeah, so I'm actually a very big advocate of needing to get some legalization and some guardrails around this from a legal perspective. One of my concerns right now is that the way that it's manifesting itself is that states are increasingly looking to legislate AI, and right now we have a patchwork. We have 44 different states that have some sort of AI state laws in their books, and that's a problem. When you're trying to build innovation and it's fragmented the way that it is from a legal perspective, it really makes it hard for companies to really build AI the way it should. So there needs to be guardrails, but these need to be at the federal level so that we all understand the playing field that we're operating upon.
Do you think those that are in charge of regulating this understand what it is they're supposed to be regulating?
And that's a big concern that I have. And you and I have talked on and off about this over the years. I'm very much concerned that there's a lack of knowledge about really what it is we're doing and the implications of it as well. But I think there's a framework that we can begin to all agree upon. There's some basic foundations of AI that we all need to agree upon. We can all agree that AI shouldn't be used by foreign governments. We all should be used, that we all need to be aware of how our data is being trained, of being able to opt out for our data.
Wait, what do you mean shouldn't be used by foreign governments? That depends on where you are, right? Because
there are no
walls, and I'm looking at an email I got about AI driving $80 billion in investment across European economies, Sweden leading the top. Where does the United States stand as it relates to investment in this and in the, battle for AI or AI dominance as we talk about shouldn't be foreign interference, et cetera?
Sure. So up until about 6 or 12 months ago, I was a lot more optimistic about really how AI was evolving within the country. I'm a little concerned right now along a couple of different dimensions of what we're seeing. We're seeing our government invest heavily in AI centers outside of our country. Like, for example, there's a big AI center being propped up in the Middle East using taxpayer dollars. You're seeing that we used to regulate the use of our chips so that our AI chips had to stay inside of our country. And we're seeing some loosening of that as well. So I'm really concerned about the lack of taking care of us in terms of the AI development and as we move forward, as well as the lack of education. I think we really need education around AI from cradle to grave. And I think there needs to be a very deep investment in that as well. With that pessimism in mind, however, I must say that in Louisiana, I've been very heartened and encouraged by some great successes that I'm starting to see with AI education.
So for the average person driving to work right now, Joe or Jane, Boudreaux, and they're trying to figure out, well, okay, I understand all of this, some of what the professor's saying, but how can I today realize or understand if I'm using AI or deliberately use it to make my day easier?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're sitting back there and you're thinking, I'm kind of curious about this AI, where do I start? The way to start is just go to the App Store and download ChatGPT. It's a good place to start. Download it, and the next time you're curious about something, rather than Googling it, ask ChatGPT. So make it act as your personal information approach, your assistant to help you with that. And what you'll find is that the more that you understand it and the more you experiment with it, you'll start to find new use cases that you may or may not have seen before, but they're kind of interesting.
As you were answering that question, I asked the phone, tell me about Professor Andrew Schwartz. And it told me that Professor Schwartz earned an SCB in civil engineering from Brown University and a JD from Columbia University. I'm guessing a different Schwartz. Yes, it
absolutely
is, as a matter of fact. So let me slide down. That's AI that did that, Professor, that answered
absolutely
that question for me?
Yeah, he and I are friends on LinkedIn, as a matter of fact. We connected a number of years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Absolutely. So and what you just raised is, I think, one of the most is the area in which I encourage us to educate ourselves. What you'll find is that the way that you ask the questions that you're asking of AI is going to really dictate the answer that you get out of it. And we call that prompt engineering. So let's say that you try it and you find out, you know what, this is kind of interesting, but I want to become better. It's a skill. And there's a number of books out there that help you to understand it. There's YouTube videos to understand it, because the way that you ask the question is going to dictate the answer you get back.
Do you find, go into that a little bit, because of the way I said, tell me about, or open-ended questions or direct questions?
Absolutely. So it's really interesting. I can give you an example. I think it's the best example. So so I do a lot of consulting as well. So I consulted with a particular salon, and the salon was looking to improve their social media presence. So we talked about how we go about creating this social media platform using ChatGPT. So I went in and said, just generically, create me a social media approach for a salon in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And it came up with an answer. But then I actually took the salon name and I put that in there. I said, tell me about this particular salon. And it came back that AI went out and did some research on the salon and found out about their web presence and their social presence. And it came back and it said, this salon is targeting suburban women. And so I went to the salon owner. I said, is this consistent with your target market? And he said, yes. We then recreated a whole social media approach using his target market, and it became much more nuanced, much more specific, because it understood the context. So once you start to understand the context, AI can assist you even better to help you arrive at better decisions and better results.
So who is updating this? Because I asked, who is Lane Kiffin? And it says Lane Kiffin is an American college football coach who has most recently been hired as a head coach for LSU. Current role, head coach at LSU, recently signed a 7-year, $91 million deal with the Tigers, et cetera, et cetera. And then it goes on from there. But, and the only reason I bring him up is that we're going to have a press conference from him at 3:30. We'll carry live here. And of course, he is what everybody's talking about. But who updated this that quickly? Did artificial intelligence update itself?
Absolutely. So that's a really great question, something we need to understand. So historically, the way that AI worked is that we trained it based upon a cutoff. So essentially what AI would do, or a ChatGPT would do, is they would take a bunch of data and they would train their algorithms on the data. But and historically, they would stop at a certain point. What's really interesting is over the past year or so, AI has evolved. So now, not only is it being trained on historical data, when new information evolves, all that data gets ingested or learned by the AI system as well. So it becomes a living, breathing entity.
It learns it from what, Professor? Where does it, what feeds it?
That's a fantastic question, and I wish we knew the answer to that. And that goes back to regulation.
Wow. And you don't know?
We don't know. Wow. Because there's no legal framework that says how they have to disclose. And I think that's one element, right? We know historically.
So let me go into this Lane Kiffin thing a little bit in the answer. So did somebody type that in and update that, or dictate that in and update that, or did it somehow it learn itself from everything that's out there in social media or in reports, et cetera, et cetera?
Absolutely. So the AI developers have to specify where it's going to learn from. So historically speaking, where it learned from was Reddit. So what AI did, the ChatGPT engineers did, is said, go on Reddit and learn about our language based upon what you learn on Reddit. Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, they've evolved that. And so they're not only crawling that, but other news companies are actually signing up to allow themselves to be crawled. So, for example, News Corp or Vox Media, all of them allow their data to be crawled in real time. So it's being basically crawled using structures and using data arrangements that ChatGPT has created.
By crawled, you mean monitored and harvested?
I mean harvested, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So what about accuracy? Who's checking to see if any of that's true or not?
And there you go. And that is also an issue as well. It's basically learning as well from us. So for every question, if you were to go back and tell the ChatGPT, that's not the right Andrew Schwartz, which it clearly is not, mm-hmm. it would learn from that. So every prompt, every question you ask, it's learning as well. And it's learning based upon how you're asking it and what you're asking of it. And that's how these models get better and better as well, is the more we interact with them, the better they become.
Is it making students better or not from your perspective as a professor? Are you, I don't know if you assign papers or what it is that you do, but do you have students that are using AI to kind of like game the system? I'll phrase it politely.
Absolutely, yeah. And so it's really interesting. There's a real split within the academic community about the role of AI, whether it's for good or for bad. There's some that really view that this is the end of education as we know it, and that this is going to make us all dumber. I tend not to take that approach. I tend to take the approach that it's actually going to teach us to be more critical of the world around us, and maybe perhaps even allow us to become slightly more human in our interactions with one another. Maybe it's going to allow us to put our technology down and actually focus on each other.
Hmm. Interesting. You know, we'll talk again. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time as always. Professor Andrew Schwartz, Professor of IT in the E.J. Uso College of Business at LSU. Again, Lane Kiffin's going to have a press conference at 3:30, set to start at 3:30. We will carry it for you live as soon as it begins. It's brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. Quick break, then we'll find out what Newell's got planned for us today here on WWL. WWL, Newell Norman's coming up next. How you doing, Newell? What you got today?
Doing great, Tommy. We're going to visit with Guy Williams in the 12 o'clock hour, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We've got a whole lot to talk about. Jeff Nowak joins us at 11:30. We'll talk about the Saints loss to the Miami Dolphins. Nancy Landry, the Louisiana Secretary of State, joins us. We'll talk about closed party primaries and what that actually means for you as a voter. Colin Simmons, the district attorney on the North Shore, St. Tammany and Washington parishes, we'll talk about budget woes, and we'll start off with just a few thoughts of my own.
All right.
Tommy, where are you going to coach? What team are you going to coach?
I will be coaching WWL tomorrow.
WWL University.
Yes, WWL University. Press conference from Lane Kiffin, 3:30. We'll have it for you here on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.